England Boxing Safeguarding Procedure, version 2.3. This audio version has been created to support accessibility to England Boxing's documents. Please note that the definitions and appendices have been removed from this version. Reporting a safeguarding concern. All safeguarding concerns must be reported as soon as possible to a club welfare officer or regional welfare officer and/or to England Boxing's compliance and safeguarding manager or compliance team. All safeguarding referrals are managed by England Boxing, with CWOs and RWOs providing support in the referral process to England Boxing. The compliance and safeguarding manager can be contacted via email at safeguarding@englandboxing.org or the safeguarding mobile on 07590 600 001 during office hours Monday to Friday. If a child, young person or an adult at risk is in immediate danger, please call the emergency services on 999. 1. Background 1.1. England Boxing is committed to safeguarding children, young people and adults at risk within boxing. The development of the sport relies on boxing being a safe, encouraging and enjoyable environment for all. When dealing with young people and adults at risk, their welfare is the paramount consideration. 1.2. England Boxing has a duty to respond to all safeguarding referrals about participants within its jurisdiction, where allegations have been raised about the welfare of children, young people or adult at risks. 1.3. This procedure applies to all members of England Boxing as well as others involved in Olympic boxing in England, including but not limited to boxers, coaches, officials, national regional club officers, clubs, gyms, regional associations, volunteers and parent scarers, or those with parental responsibility for members under 18 years of age, as well as to England Boxing itself. 1.4. This procedure is supplemented by the Safeguarding Policy, Safeguarding Adults Policy, Safeguarding Code, Disclosure and Barring, Service Policy, Code of Conduct and any other safeguarding rules, policies, codes, procedures or guidelines of England Boxing. 1.5. This procedure and any outcomes generated from the application of the procedure are separate from any proceedings which may also be taken under the disciplinary procedure. 1.6. All safeguarding referrals will be dealt with by this procedure at the sole discretion of England Boxing. 1.7. All safeguarding referrals must be reported as soon as possible to a club welfare officer or regional welfare officer and/or to England Boxing's compliance and safeguarding manager or compliance team. All safeguarding referrals are managed by England Boxing, with CWOs and RWOs providing support in the referral process to England Boxing. 1.8. The CSM can be contacted via email at safeguarding@englandboxing.org or the safeguarding mobile on 07590 600 001 during office hours Monday-Friday. If a child, young person or an adult at risk is in immediate danger, please call the emergency services on 999. 1.9. England Boxing shall not be liable to any participant for any loss howsoever caused, whether direct, indirect, economic or consequential, including but not limited to loss of profit or opportunity suffered as a direct or indirect result of a suspension, bar, exclusion or condition implemented through this procedure. 110. Any deviation from any provision of this procedure shall not invalidate any finding or decision unless that deviation seriously and irremediably prejudices the position of one of the parties or the fairness or reliability of the process or outcome. 112. England Boxing may amend these procedures as it sees fit from time to time. Any such amendments shall come into full force and effect upon the date specified for the amendment. 2. Jurisdiction and powers. 2.1. England Boxing's Articles of Association, its rules, regulations, and various conditions of membership. Registration and affiliation require that all individuals outlined in S1.3 comply with regulations made by the board and any of England Boxing's rules, policies, codes, procedures or guidelines. 2.2. This procedure provides an open and transparent process for the handling of safeguarding referrals, including misconduct complaints about children, young people or adults at risk. Referrals that are not considered to be safeguarding related by the CSM will be dealt with under a separate complaint handling process. 2.3. England Boxing has disciplinary jurisdiction over any participant defined within these procedures and/or those defined by the Code of Conduct. 2.4. England Boxing retains the right to pursue to a conclusion any referral commenced while a person is a participant, notwithstanding that they may cease to be a participant after commencement of the referral. 2.5. All participants subject to this procedure are reminded that the safeguarding procedure is not a court of law and is a disciplinary, as opposed to an arbitral, body. 2.6. The applicable standard of proof under this procedure will be the civil standard of the balance of probability. 2.7. Any participant subject to an allegation and attending a hearing is entitled to be represented, including legally, by a person of their choice. Participants are responsible for their costs in respect of their response to any concern or hearing. 3.1. England Boxing reserves the right to involve statutory agencies in appropriate matters and will support the police, local authority designated officer, safeguarding, adults designated officer, hereafter incorporated into any LADO reference, and any other relevant body with any resulting investigation in line with its legal obligations. 3.2. England Boxing retains the right to continue its safeguarding proceedings even though there may be a police or UK anti-doping investigation ongoing. England Boxing will exercise its discretion when responding to safeguarding referrals before any criminal or anti-doping proceedings have concluded, and will liaise with the LADO, police, UCAD, and any other relevant body in this regard. 3.3. The fact that criminal action is being taken or considered does not prevent action continuing in line with this procedure. 4. Powers of inquiry. 4.1. England Boxing requires those outlined in S1.3 to cooperate in any investigation where requested, to participate in interviews, to provide information and/or statements, or any other information believed to be in their possession or knowledge, and to attend hearings to give evidence. 4.2. Any participant who fails to comply with these requirements or respond within requested timescales may be subject to disciplinary action under the disciplinary procedure. 4.3. All and any hearings shall be held in private and are confidential to those in attendance unless outcomes are published by England Boxing. 4.4. England Boxing shall delegate its power to act upon safeguarding referrals to the CSM, who has the authority under such delegation to raise concerns as deemed appropriate. 4.5. England Boxing shall also have jurisdiction at their sole discretion over appeals against decisions or outcomes from a safeguarding review panel, including those of a member organization. Such appeals will be reviewed by the judicial chair as set out in S13. 4.6. Where a participant involved in a referral is under 18 years of age or deemed to be an adult at risk when the matter referred to occurred, the matter will be dealt with under the procedures for children, young people and adults at risk in this procedure at S7. 5.1. If the CSM considers that a referral falls within the scope of the procedure and is of sufficient seriousness to warrant the interim suspension of a participant from England Boxing activity until such time that the procedure has concluded, they may impose an interim suspension. The CSM shall communicate via email to the participant, informing them of the terms of the interim suspension. 5.2. For S5.1, a suspension shall mean suspension from England Boxing activity unless specific conditions of the suspension are applied and communicated to the respondent. 5.3. About 5.1, it may also be necessary to communicate with the participant via phone, based on the participant's accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 5.4. Any interim suspension issued will be submitted to the JC, Compliance, Legal and HR Subcommittee, and Workforce and Safeguarding Subcommittee within 8 weeks of the suspension. 5.5. A suspension on coaching activities cannot be separated into activities with adults, adult at risk, children and young people, or participants of any gender. Any bar or suspension on coaching applies to coaching in its entirety, and no subdivision will be permissible by the CSM, JC, or SRP. 5.6. If at any time the facts or circumstances of the referral change, the CSM may consider whether such interim suspension should continue. In their absolute discretion, the CSM may lift or amend an interim suspension as necessary. 5.7. An interim suspension may be shared with the participant's club, club support officer, the club and community manager, and RWO, in order to protect the integrity of the sport at the sole discretion of the CSM. 5.8. An interim suspension may be published on England Boxing's website at the sole discretion of the CSM. 5.9. If, during the course of a participant's interim suspension, the CSM is informed that the participant has breached the terms of the interim suspension, the JC has the power to review the suspension and apply outcomes as set out in S11 of the procedure, at the sole discretion of the JC. 6. Investigation of a safeguarding referral or concern. 6.1. All referrals from participants or members of the public made directly to England Boxing or via CWS or RWO will be referred in the first instance to the CSM. All safeguarding referrals are managed by England Boxing, with CWOs and RWOs providing support in the referral process to England Boxing. 6.2. The CSM or nominee will acknowledge receipt of the referral within 24 hours, Monday to Friday, or 48 hours during weekends or bank holidays, and will be responsible for management of the case. 6.3. The compliance and safeguarding manager will decide whether A. the referral is clearly unreasonable, vexatious or malicious, in which case it will not be considered further. B. There should be a referral to the statutory agencies as per S3. If there should be such a referral, the CSM shall make it and share the necessary information. C. The referral should be investigated by England Boxing itself, and or D. If the referral does not require any further investigation and is not unreasonable, vexatious or malicious, refer it immediately to an SRP. 6.4. All referrals involving serious harm, sexual conduct and immediate risk must be investigated by England Boxing, normally following referral and or investigation by statutory agencies as in S3. 6.5. The above decision is one to be taken by CSM, having considered all relevant information, including but not limited to the nature of the allegation, its seriousness, the role or position of the individual against whom the allegation or referral is made, and the resources reasonably available to investigate the concern. 6.6. All investigations shall be carried out in an appropriate manner, and one proportionate to all the circumstances, including the nature and seriousness of the referral, the role of the respondent, and the resources reasonably available to investigate the allegation. 6.7. The respondent will always be provided with a full opportunity to respond to any concern, either in writing, verbally, or both. 7. Dealing with children, young people, and adults at risk. 7.1. When dealing with children, young people, or an adult at risk in an investigation or as a witness, they must be dealt with in a manner considered appropriate for the person's age and understanding. 7.2. A child under the age of 14 cannot appear before any hearing panel, either as a witness or respondent. 7.3. Where a witness under the age of 14 would be requested to provide evidence, the CSM should collect this evidence as a written statement or transcript from a verbal recording as appropriate. Written permission must be obtained from the parent carer for a statement to be provided. 7.4. A young person between the ages of 14 and 18 may attend a hearing accompanied by an adult chaperone, and only where A. the safeguarding review panel chair considers their age and understanding are appropriate for their attendance, B. the evidence is considered so important as to necessitate their attendance, and C. the procedures to hear from a young person as outlined in this procedure are strictly followed. 7.5. Where all clauses in S7.4 are not met, the provision made at S703 should be applied. 7.6. When a young person gives evidence as a witness or respondent, only essential participants should be in attendance. Essential participants are considered as the panel, CSM, respondent and their representative, and the adult chaperone. 7.7. Only the SRP chair will be permitted to ask questions of the young person. No cross-examination is permitted. 7.8. Where the young person is a witness, at the end of the questioning by the SRP chair, they will inquire from the respondent whether there are any questions to be asked of the young person. These should be provided in writing and will be asked of the young person by the SRP chair at the sole discretion of the SRP chair. 7.9. A young person and their adult chaperone are only to attend a hearing for the period of their evidence and questioning by the SRP chair. Once this is complete, they may leave the hearing. 7.10. No person under the age of 18 can be fined. Sie bin Hundertelf. At the sole discretion of the JC, the procedures available to support a child, young person as a witness or respondent are also available for application in the case of an adult at risk at any age, in line with a safeguarding adults policy. 8. Consideration. Following investigation. 8.1. After an investigation, the CSM shall decide whether A. there is no case to answer. B. the matter is one of poor practice. Or C. there is a case to answer of serious poor practice, possible or actual abuse or some other safeguarding concern, in which case the CSM shall refer the matter to the SRP. 8.2. In reaching the decision, the CSM or independent appointee who conducted the investigation is entitled to seek such advice as they consider necessary or appropriate. 8.3. Once a decision has been made, it shall be notified to the respondent, JC, Compliance, Legal and HR Subcommittee, and Workforce and Safeguarding Subcommittee, the complainant and all interested parties as soon as reasonably practicable. 8.4. The decision will be submitted to the JC and Compliance, Legal and HR Subcommittee, and Workforce and Safeguarding Subcommittee within 8 weeks of the decision. 8.05. If the matter is to be referred to the SRP, a panel should be appointed as soon as practicable. 8.6. Wherein S. 8.1b. poor practice is identified, the CSM will direct the participant to appropriate training, education or support that the participant will be required to engage with. Failure to remedy identified poor practice may lead to further action under this procedure or the disciplinary procedure. 8.7. Appropriate training, education or support in S. 8.6. may form a requirement to complete online or in-person education, rewrite policies, communicate good practice to members, engage with active partnerships or any such direction as deemed appropriate at the sole discretion of the CSM. 9. Preliminary matters. 9.1. An SRP chair or JC will have the right, sitting alone, to deal with any preliminary matter and may, as a result, make directions including but not limited to A. amending a time limit, B. setting aside any earlier panel decision being appealed against, C. order a participant to attend a hearing, D. permit a participant or representative to attend and make submissions to the panel, E. dispense or amend any of the procedures outlined in this procedure, F. consider and make a determination on any matters of law, or G. any such other order deemed applicable or appropriate. 9.2. The SRP chair or JC may also refer any preliminary matter to be considered by the full SRP panel. 9.3. Any direction of a preliminary matter is final and not subject to appeal. 10.1. The CSM will refer a case to the SRP where A. following an investigation, there is a case to answer of serious poor practice, possible or actual abuse, or some other safeguarding concern. B. A referral or concern does not require any further investigation and is not unreasonable, vexatious or malicious. C. Any participant is being investigated or charged by the police, social services, or any other authority relating to an offence. D. Any participant is convicted of or made the subject of a caution in respect of any offence. E. England Boxing receives notification from the Disclosure and Barring Service, DBS, about a participant, including but limited to those carrying out regulated activity with young people or adults at risk, and or F. any participant barred by the DBS from working by the Safeguarding Vulnerable Groups Act 2006, as may be amended. 10.2. Where the CSM makes a referral to the SRP, the procedure as set out from S10.3 will be applied. 10.3. England Boxing shall commence the procedure by sending the respondent the concern in writing via email, setting out a summary of the safeguarding referral or concern, and website links to the rules, policies, codes, procedures or guidelines breached. 10.4. A copy of the evidence to support the concern may also be included, redacted where appropriate, at the sole discretion of the CSM. 10.5. About S10.3. It may also be necessary to communicate with the participant via phone based on the participant's accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 10.6. The respondent against whom the concern has been made has 7 days following the date of the concern email to answer the allegation, where they may A. accept the concern and request that the matter be dealt with by correspondence only. B. Accept the concern and request to appear before an SRP to personally provide any mitigation. C. Deny the concern and request that the matter be dealt with via correspondence with the panel. Or D. Deny the concern and request that the matter be dealt with by way of a personal hearing. And E. Any reasonable adjustments that are necessary to facilitate a response. 10.7. Should the respondent against whom the concern was raised elect to appear in person to provide mitigation, or in a personal hearing, they will be required to pay a hearing fee of £100. A respondent has 21 days from the date of the concern email to pay. The hearing fee or the matter will be referred to panel at 10.8. 10.8. Failure by the respondent to respond to the concern within 7 days will mean the matter will be referred to the panel for consideration based on the CSM's referral or correspondence. 10.9. The CSM will schedule a date and convene a 3-person panel under the direction of the JC and appointed from members, approved by the England Boxing Compliance, Legal and HR Subcommittee, to produce a decision on the misconduct. Yang Taosenzhen. The panel will be chaired by a legally qualified person or a person experienced in chairing such panels. Ein Tausendelf. All members of the safeguarding review panel must have experience of dealing with safeguarding matters and have received certificated safeguarding education. Ein Tausendwolf. If a member of a panel having been appointed is unable or unwilling to attend a hearing, then the JC may A. appoint another member of the panel as a replacement, B. appoint a new panel, or C. allow the remaining 2 members to proceed with the hearing. 10.1.3. Where a panel comprises 2, the SRP chair shall have the casting vote, otherwise the decision of the panel will be unanimous. 10.1.4. At least 7 days' notice will be given of the date, time and place of a hearing convened under the SRP, unless all parties consent to a shorter time frame. 10.1.5. Personal hearings will normally be held online via Zoom unless the JC determines a face-to-face hearing is required. 10.1.6. At least 5 days before the date of the hearing, the CSM shall share a panel pack with the panel, including the concern email and evidence, as well as any written response from the respondent. 10.1.7. In all cases, England Boxing shall face the burden of proving the safeguarding breach and concern raised. 10.1.8. The hearing will progress with the CSM or nominee presenting the case to the panel, and the panel shall have the right to ask questions of the CSM. 10.1.9. If in attendance, the respondent will give their evidence, and the panel shall have the right to ask questions of the respondent. 10.2.0. Once the respondent has provided their evidence, the respondent has the opportunity to make any closing argument, followed by the closing argument of the CSM. 10.02.1. The panel will then adjourn in private to determine whether the concern is proven, and any decision shall be by majority verdict. 10.2.2. The fact that a person has been convicted of a criminal offence or issued with a formal police caution to the same concern shall be deemed to be conclusive evidence of a conviction or caution and the facts and circumstances surrounding it. 10.02.3. In the event of the concern being proven, the CSM may outline any previous disciplinary history on record for the respondent, and the respondent, if in attendance, may provide any mitigation against a sanction. 10.2.4. In the event the charge is not proven, all details of the concern shall be withdrawn and any monies paid refunded. 10.02.5. Having reached a final decision on liability and outcome, the SRP chair shall communicate the decision either at the time of the hearing or to the respondent within 48 hours of the hearing via the CSM. 10.2.6. About S10.25. It may also be necessary to communicate with the respondent via phone based on the participant's accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 10.2.7. In all cases, the SRP chair will produce a written judgment, setting out the reasons for reaching its decision and any outcome or mitigation applied. 10.02.8. Any decision will be subject to the right of appeal in accordance with the appeal process in S13. 10.2.9. During proceedings, the panel shall not be obliged to follow the strict rules of evidence and may admit such evidence as it thinks fit, and attribute evidence such weight as it thinks appropriate in the circumstances of the case. 10.30. Subject to the right of appeal, a decision of the panel shall be deemed to be a decision of England Boxing and be binding. JEDNACT. Outcomes and costs. 11.01. If the panel finds the concern to have been proven under the safeguarding procedure, the panels will conduct a risk assessment to determine an outcome that is appropriate and proportionate to the risk assessed. The panel's powers include, but are not limited to, making an order that any individual be barred from all or any boxing activity for such period, and on such terms and conditions, as it considers appropriate. For the avoidance of doubt, the safeguarding review panel has the power to apply the following sanctions. A. Impose any conditions it considers appropriate to address the risk a participant does or may pose, including, but not limited to, supervision requirements. B. Fixed-term bar, suspension from England boxing activity. C. Permanent bar, ban from England boxing activity. D. Suspension or ban from coaching, officiating, boxing, or volunteering as part of England boxing activity. E. Suspension or ban from attending any activity under the jurisdiction of England boxing. F. Imposing conditions to be satisfied before being permitted a return to England boxing activity after serving a period of suspension. G. Caution and or censure in respect of the participant's conduct. H. Suspended penalty where, if the terms of the suspended penalty are breached, a sanction as specified is applied. I. Requirement to attend appropriate training. J. Direction to engage in appropriate support from active partnerships. K. Make relevant determinations in relation to DBS applications. L. Requirement to contribute to the costs of the hearing. M. In addition to, or instead of safeguarding proceedings under this procedure, direct that a matter shall be dealt with by way of disciplinary action under the disciplinary code, and or N. A combination of any of the above. 11.02. In imposing a fixed-term bar, the panel or the appeal panel shall consider the period of interim suspension served by the participant, if any, in deciding the appropriate period of any further fixed-term bar. 11.3. In determining whether to impose a permanent or fixed-term bar, the panel shall consider the following factors as part of a risk assessment. A. The nature of the breach, conviction or caution. B. The risk posed to children, young people and adults at risk. And C. Whether a bar is necessary, reasonable and proportionate to protect children, young people and adults at risk from harm. 11.04. A permanent bar should be imposed only where the panel's risk assessment determines that the participant's conduct and potential ongoing risk to members of England Boxing is such that it is considered necessary, reasonable and proportionate. 11.05. A bar or suspension on coaching activities cannot be separated into activities with adults, adults at risk, children and young people, or participants of any gender. Any bar or suspension on coaching applies to coaching in its entirety, and no subdivision will be permissible by the panel or considered as part of an appeal to the JC or sports resolutions. 11.6. The JC may review a bar at any time should they wish to do so. Any participant subject to a bar has no right to review. 11.7. During a participant's bar or suspension, if the CSM is informed that the participant has breached the terms of the interim suspension, the JC has the power to review the suspension and refer the breach to the CSM or nominee for consideration under the full disciplinary procedure, S10, of the disciplinary procedure. 11.8. A club or gym may be barred from carrying on and or providing any boxing activity, including training, for such period and on such terms and conditions as the SRP considers a bar appropriate or desirable to protect children, young persons or adults at risk from harm or the risk of harm. 11.9. In addition to any express power in this procedure, an SRP may make any order it considers appropriate when its risk assessment indicates the participant poses or may pose a risk of harm to children, young persons or adult at risk. 12.1. All licensed coaches, specified officials, CWOs, RWOs, team managers, educators, designated drivers, and anyone conducting regulated activity with children, young persons or adult at risks is subject to enhanced disclosure and barring service, DBS checks. Further information on roles which require DBS checks and the application process is set out in the disclosure and barring service policy. 12.2. Enhanced EBS checks with England Boxing are valid for 3 years from the date of issue or the date of an online service update check by England Boxing. All participants who wish to continue to work in a role which requires a DBS check must renew their DBS application before the expiry of the 3 year period. 12.3. If a participant working in a role which requires an enhanced DBS check is under investigation, convicted of, or receives a caution for any offence, they must notify the DBS manager of that fact and of the offence by emailing safeguarding@englandboxing.org. Within 2008 days of the date of the conviction or caution, they will usually be required to complete a new DBS check. 12.4. England Boxing and the DBS manager has the right to delay a DBS review where an open investigation is in place and until such time as that investigation has been completed. 12.5. A DBS application received by England Boxing will be processed under the following criteria. A. A DBS containing no content will be declared to be cleared and approved on the locker. B. A DBS containing disclosures may be cleared by the DBS manager where, following a risk assessment, the content is not deemed sufficiently serious to an individual's work with children, young people and adults at risk, or it will be referred to S12.5C. Below, C. A DBS containing disclosures not cleared by the DBS manager is reviewed by an internal England Boxing working group via risk assessment for a decision to be cleared or referred to DBS panel in S1205D. Below, D. A DBS containing disclosures where the England Boxing Working Group deems independent review is required will be referred to a DBS panel for a decision to be cleared or refused, or E. Any participant barred by the DBS from working with children in accordance with the Safeguarding Vulnerable Groups Act 2006, as may be amended, will be refused. 12.6. A participant's DBS certificate containing disclosures must be posted to the DBS manager at England Boxing, IS Sheffield, Coleridge Road, Sheffield S95DA, for risk assessment under S1205B, above. 12.7. Also under S12.5B, the DBS manager may request an explanation from the participant in relation to any disclosures on their DBS certificate. In order to inform the risk assessment, England Boxing Working Group, or DBS panel stages. 12.8. A risk assessment undertaken by the DBS manager or England Boxing Working Group shall give consideration to the following factors. A. The nature of the disclosure. B. The relation to sport of the disclosure. C. The risk posed to children, young people and adults at risk. D. Whether a referral to DBS panel is necessary to safeguard members, and or E. Whether a bar is imposed by the DBS service. 12.9. If the DBS manager or England Boxing Working Group determines that the disclosures on a participant's DBS are cleared, following a risk assessment, the participant can be cleared to continue in their role. 1200. Where a participant's DBS disclosures are referred to the England Boxing Working Group or DBS panel, the participant cannot commence or continue in a role requiring a DBS check until the England Boxing Working Group or DBS panel has made a final decision and cleared the applicant to continue. Zwolf.elft. Where a bar is disclosed on a DBS certificate, as per S12.4T, the application will be refused by the DBS manager. There is no appeal process against bars imposed by the DBS service. Zwolf.zwolfte. If the DBS manager makes a referral to the DBS panel, they must write to the participant concerned notifying them that a referral has been made and requesting an explanation about any disclosures on their DBS certificate. 12.1. 3. Where the DBS manager makes a referral to the DBS panel, the procedure as set out from 12.14 will be applied. 12.1. 4. The DBS manager shall commence the procedure by sending the respondent a notice in writing via email, notifying them that a referral has been made and requesting an explanation in relation to any disclosures on their DBS certificate. 12.15. About S12.14. It may also be necessary to communicate with the participant via phone based on the participant's accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 12.16. The respondent against whom the notice has been given has 7 days following the date of the notice email to respond, where they may A. set out an explanation or any relevant details about the DBS disclosures, B. include any references which the respondent wishes to rely upon, B. request the matter be dealt with by correspondence only, and or C. request the matter be dealt with by way of a personal hearing, and D. any reasonable adjustments that are necessary to facilitate the response. 12.1.7. Should the respondent against whom the notification was raised elect to appear in person in a personal hearing, they will be provided this opportunity by the DBS manager. 12.1.8. Failure by the respondent to respond to the charge within 7 days will mean the matter will be referred to the DBS panel for consideration based on the DBS manager's correspondence. 12.1.9. The DBS manager will schedule a date and convene a 3-person DBS panel under the direction of the JC and appointed from members approved by the England Boxing Compliance, Legal and HR Subcommittee to produce a decision. 12.20. At least 7 days' notice will be given of the date, time and place of a personal hearing, unless all parties consent to a shorter time frame. 12.21. Personal hearings will normally be held online via Teams, Zoom, unless the DBS manager determines a face-to-face hearing is required. 12.2.2. The DBS panel in making a decision shall take into account all relevant material, including, but not limited to the applicant's character and the following factors. A. The nature of the disclosure. B. The relation to sport of the disclosure. C. The age of the disclosures. And D. The risk posed to young people and adult at risks. 12.2.3. The fact that a person charged has been convicted of a criminal offence, or issued with a formal police caution to the same incident, shall be deemed to be conclusive evidence of a conviction or caution and the facts and circumstances surrounding it. 12.2.4. Having reached a decision, the DBS manager shall communicate the decision either at the time of the personal hearing, or to the respondent within 72 hours of the panel, including the reasons for the DBS panel's decision. 12.25. About S12.24. It may also be necessary to communicate with the respondent via phone, based on the participant's accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 12.26. In all cases, the DBS manager will produce a written decision, setting out the reasons for reaching its decision, and any mitigation applied. 12.27. Any decision of the DBS panel will be subject to the right of appeal in accordance with the appeal process in S13. 12.28. If the DBS panel decides a respondent's DBS is to be cleared, the individual can continue in their role upon notification. 12.29. The DBS panel has the right to require an individual to attend appropriate training or make a new DBS application before being cleared. 12.30. Subject to the right of appeal, a decision of the DBS panel shall be deemed to be a decision of England Boxing and be binding. TrinAct. Appeals Procedure. 13.1. Appeals may be made to the JC via the CSM on the following grounds. A. The process failed to give the appellant a fair hearing. B. The decision of the panel was irrational. C. The process failed to comply with the procedure provided for in this procedure. D. The panel imposed an excessive outcome, and or E. The panel made a decision which was wrong in law. F. England Boxing may also appeal that the outcome imposed was unduly lenient, and therefore unreasonable. 13.2. An appellant shall have 7 days from the date of the written judgment, or written decision to submit an appeal via email to safeguarding@englandboxing.org, along with agreement to pay a £250 fee, not applicable in S13.1FF. An appellant has 21 days from the date of the written judgment or written decision to pay the fee, or the appeal will be rejected by the JC under S13.4. An appeal application will be considered in writing via email from the appellant, unless the appellant requires reasonable adjustments in order to make this appeal. 13.3. An appeal submitted to the JC by the appellant should include A. the grounds of the appeal under S13.1. B. the precise details being appealed against. C. any application to submit new evidence and justification as to why such evidence was not available at the time of the original hearing. D. any reasonable adjustments that are necessary to facilitate the appeal, and E. Agreement to pay the £250 fee as set out at S13.2. Not applicable, in S13.1-F, 13.4. Within 14 days of receipt of the appeal, the JC at their sole determination will decide whether the grounds for appeal have been met and the appeal is to be progressed or rejected. Their decision will be communicated to the appellant via the CSM. 13.5. There is no right to appeal against the decision of the JC and the SRP or DBS panel's decision will be implemented. 13.6. The original decision of the SRP will be suspended during any appeal. Period, as will any potential publication of the decision, unless a permanent bar, S11.1.C, was the decision, in which case an interim suspension under S5 will be applied by the CSM. 13.7. A decision by the DBS panel to refuse a DBS will remain in place during any appeal period. 13.8. Where an appeal application is made by the original respondent, and an interim suspension had been applied by the CSM prior to the SRP, the interim suspension will remain in force during the period of appeal. 13.9. Where the appeal is to be progressed, the CSM will instruct Sport Resolutions UK to appoint an independent appeal panel or chairperson to case manage the appeal process. England Boxing and the respondent will have the opportunity to object to the proposed member S of independent appeal panel, with any such objection to be ruled upon by Sport Resolutions UK or someone appointed to do so by them. Drazen, Zente. Appeals are ordinarily progressed by way of a review of all correspondence, but the appellant or CSM have the right to attend an appeal hearing to make personal submissions at the sole discretion of the independent appeal panel chair. Drazen.Elfte. Sport Resolutions UK will convene an independent appeal panel consisting of a chair sitting alone, or a panel of three members to include a nominated chair. Drazen, Zolfte. Where an in-person appeal hearing is required, Sport Resolutions UK will schedule a date and convene an independent appeal panel under the direction of the independent appeal panel chair. 13.1. 3. England Boxing's original panel pack, the appellant's appeal documentation, and the written judgment will be collated by Sport Resolutions UK for distribution to the independent appeal panel no less than 5 days prior to the appeal hearing. 13.1. 4. An appeal can only be withdrawn with the approval of the independent appeal panel chair. 13.1.5. The following procedures will be followed where an in-person appeal hearing is required, unless the procedures are amended by the independent appeal panel chair. A. The appellant will set out their appeal, summarizing their appeal documentation. B. Any new evidence will be considered, and any witness may be questioned. C. The appeal respondent will set out their response. D. Any new evidence from the appeal respondent will be considered, and any new witnesses may be questioned. B. The independent appeal panel may pose questions at any time, but the appellant and the appeal respondent are not permitted to ask questions other than to the independent appeal panel. C. The appeal respondent will make closing submissions. D. The appellant will make closing submissions. And E. The independent appeal panel will then adjourn in private to determine a decision and an outcome as provided for in S13.16 and S11. 13.1.6. The independent appeal panel has the power to A. Allow the appeal, B. Dismiss the appeal, C. Make any decision that was available to the SRP, which includes the ability to increase, decrease, or vary any outcome imposed, D. Order a rehearing, E. Order costs to contribute towards the actual costs of the appeal panel, F. Order the refund or forfeit of the appeal fee, or G. Any other order deemed appropriate. 13.1.7. A bar or suspension on coaching activities implemented by the independent appeal panel cannot be separated into activities with adults, adults at risk, children and young people, or participants of any gender. Any bar or suspension on coaching applies to coaching in its entirety, and no sub-division will be permissible by the panel or considered as part of an appeal. 13.1.8. A decision of the independent appeal panel shall be deemed to be a decision of England Boxing and be final and binding. There is no appeal process to an appeal. 13.1.9. Having reached a decision, the independent appeal panel chair shall communicate the decision either at the time of the hearing or to the respondent within 48 hours of the hearing via sport resolutions. 13.20, about S1319. It may also be necessary to communicate with the respondent via phone based on the participant. Accessibility to written communication as defined on their locker profile. Written communication should always be provided in addition to phone communication. 13.2.1. In all cases, the independent appeal panel chair will produce a written judgment, setting out the reasons for reaching its decision and any outcome or mitigation applied. CITAN Act. Offences in other sports. 14.1. Any participant found guilty of any of the following offences in another sport or national governing body. Proceedings may be addressed by England Boxing for not acting in the best interests of the sport. A. Any betting or integrity event. B. Any doping offence under WAD code or UCAD rules. C. Any offence in connection with discriminatory behaviour. Or D. Any safeguarding allegations substantiated by the sport or NGB. 14.2. The findings of the other sport or NGB will be deemed to be correct unless any appeal application to that sport or NGB has been made and upheld. 14.3. The JC may move immediately to impose an outcome in line with England Boxing's outcomes as if the offence had been committed under the jurisdiction of England Boxing, without need for a SRP. 14.4. UK Armed Forces Service Only Boxing is covered by the safeguarding JSP 834, Joint Service Publication. 14.5. UKAF service only boxing discipline is covered under the Manual of Service Law and may be dealt with under the Armed Forces Discipline Act 2000. As a legislative act of law, it would take precedence over England Boxing rules, policies, codes, procedures, or guidelines. But where England Boxing rules, policies, codes, procedures, or guidelines have been contravened at an England Boxing event, both service law and policy may run in tandem with England Boxing rules, policies, codes, procedures, or guidelines. Patent Act. Suspensions and bars due to criminal action. 15.1. In addition to the powers outlined in this procedure, England Boxing may order that a participant be suspended or barred from all England Boxing activity on terms it deems appropriate, where the participant has been convicted of a criminal offence and where the JC and CSM consider it appropriate to safeguard the sport and its participants. CESNACT. Confidentiality and publication. 16.1. In the publication or sharing of any information, due protection must be provided to any child, young person or adult at risk involved, as determined necessary by the CSM. 16.2. All safeguarding and appeal proceedings shall take place in private and only participants and representatives, and the CSM are entitled to attend. 16.3. England Boxing has the authority to publish the outcome and details of any hearing on England Boxing's website that it deems appropriate at its sole discretion. Until such time as England Boxing publishes the details, they remain private and confidential. 16.4. The outcome of any full disciplinary procedure, safeguarding review, panel, DBS panel, membership termination or appeal may be shared with home nation and GB national governing bodies in order to protect the integrity of the sport at the sole discretion of the CSM. 16.5. The outcome of any full disciplinary procedure, safeguarding review panel, DBS panel, membership termination or appeal will be shared with the participant's club, CSO, the club and community manager and RWO in order to protect the integrity of the sport at the sole discretion of the CSM. 16.6. The SRP chair or JC may recommend that all submissions provided during a hearing or appeal are collated and sent to the police, LADO or other relevant body, together with the view of the panel, SRP chair or JC that the matter should be investigated by such authorities in the determination of whether a criminal offence has been committed. 16.7. As per S5.8, an interim suspension may be published on England Boxing's website at the sole discretion of the CSM. 16.8. Information gathered during the course of an investigation will be retained by England Boxing as part of its duty to protect children, young people and adults at risk and will be kept in accordance with the Privacy and Data Protection Policy. End of document.